fee, so that is valid based on the code. Can a meeting be closed to the public, if so and when? So it is possible to have a closed meeting. City council has closed meetings fairly frequently, but they deal with a lot of different issues that the planning commission doesn't deal with. I think in the last 14, 15 years in Midway, we've had one closed meeting before the planning commission, and that was regarding the transmission lines that we had going down 970 South. It became important for the attorney to talk to the planning commission at that point in the process. We had a closed meeting back then. I can't remember who's on the planning commission. It was a number of you on the planning commission back when we had that. So it's just very rare that the planning commission would have any type of closed meeting, but it is possible that we would run into that.
I like that graphic.
And city council has quite a few of those.
What about planning, working sessions that we sometimes have?
Yeah, so those working session, that wouldn't fall under the closed meeting section of the code. It's basically like a normal planning commission meeting, but we need to go through the process of noticing that special time and make sure the location is made clear to everybody. It's usually the planning commission doesn't run into the same types of issues. So these are examples of the issues. Discussing the individual's character, professional competence, or physical or mental health. Strategy sessions to discuss collective bargaining. So city council looking at purchasing a property, we go into a closed session for that. Discussions regarding security personnel, devices, or systems. Obviously, you wouldn't want to discuss that in the public if you're talking about security. Investigative proceedings regarding allegations or criminal misconduct. And then strategy sessions discuss purchase, exchange, lease, or sell real property. So those are the things, and legal proceedings is one of the main reasons why we go into a closed session. Are there any meetings that must be closed? No. You can actually discuss any of that out in the open if you really wanted to, but it doesn't make a lot of sense for some of those things to happen in the open. Citizen to close a meeting to the public is always discretionary, not mandatory. The law does not require any meeting to be closed. Is there a process to close a meeting? Yes, there is. You must have a quorum present. So we need to have at least a quorum for that to happen. Two-thirds of the body must vote to close the meeting. The body must first hold a public meeting with proper notice before entering into the closed meeting. So we have a normal planning commission meeting or a special planning commission meeting. And during that meeting, you could go into a closed session and we'd go through the proper procedures at that point. We still need to record, but we do shut the door at that point. We're required by law to keep the doors open as part of this act whenever we have a public meeting. So a lot of times people will try to shut the doors and we want to keep them open just to make sure it always feels inviting for the public to come in. The body must publicly disclose the vote by name of each member for or against entering into the closed meeting, reasons for holding the closed meeting, and then the location of the closed meeting. So what are you not allowed to do in a closed meeting? You can't approve an ordinance, a resolution, a rule, a regulation, contract, or appointment. So really, all you can do is discuss in those meetings. You can't actually take any action. You can't interview a person to fill an elected position, which the planning commission wouldn't do, but the city council would. Take final action. Final votes must be open and on the record. So noticing requirements for our meetings. It must be posted as a written notice at the place where the meeting will be held. So we just have our noticing on the front door as you walk in. Must be given at least to one local general circulation newspaper, local media correspondent. That actually has changed in state code now, where there's just not a lot of newspapers left, especially in smaller communities or even larger communities. So the state has changed that to where things need to be on the city's website and then on the Utah Public Notice website. We still notice everything in the Wasatch Way when we have some requirements in our local code for doing that. But it could be in the future that doesn't exist. Hopefully that's not the case. We want it to exist. But we are making sure all the proper noticing takes place for each meeting. We do have to post our agendas at least 24 hours prior to the meeting. So we can add items up to within, just before 24 hours before the meeting. Certain items like public hearings need to be posted long before that though. So, just so everyone's aware of that. The agenda, including all actual items stated with reasonable specificity, date, time, and place. What about emergency meetings? It is possible to have an emergency meeting. Again, that would probably fall under the city council more than the planning commission to go into emergency meeting mode. There is a possibility for that to happen. So we do have to keep records of our meetings, so we have recordings, and then we also keep the minutes of the meeting. And there, the minutes are of open meetings and public correction recording meetings. Those are, I need to make those available to the public. I want to say within 3 days the recording needs to be available to the public if somebody asks for it. We obviously don't have the minutes approved until we have our next actual planning commission meeting. And so we do hand out the minutes. They have to say draft on it. It has to be very prevalent. So all the minutes have to include the date, time, place of the meeting, and the names of all the members present. So in addition, the minutes of the open meetings must include all matters proposed and discussed or decided. All names and substance of information for individuals given testimony and individual votes on each matter, and any additional information requested by a member. So that's what we're trying to incorporate and include within the minutes. And then minutes of closed meetings must include the names of others present at the closed meeting unless it infringes on the purpose of the closed meeting. So those minutes are a little bit different from your normal meeting minutes. Written minutes shall be available to the public before final approval when the minutes are only awaiting formal approval, so we have to have a draft ready. And then minutes released prior to the final approval must be identified as unapproved. And written minutes and recordings of open meetings and public meetings shall be released within a reasonable amount of time, so we have to have those available to the public if they ask for those. And minutes and or recordings of closed meetings are not public records, so those are held pretty tight if we ever go into a closed session. So what is the, if we don't follow OPMA, which is the Open Public Meetings Act? So there's a couple of things here. The first part, in addition to any other penalty under this chapter, a member of the public body who intentionally violates or intentionally abets or advises a violation of the closed meeting provision of this chapter is guilty of a Class B misdemeanor. And then the court can't void any action in violation of the law. So if we don't follow OPMA, then they can void the actions taken by the committee. And sometimes a violation can be cured by discussing and taking a public vote in a subsequent meeting. So we make a mistake, we could go back to the next meeting.
I was gonna say.
We may have to pay court costs if we and attorney's fees if we do make a mistake.
That's it.
Common violations of OPMA, closing meetings without members of the body voting first in an open meeting to close the meeting. Conducting a closed meeting for reasons other than those allowed by OPMA. Taking official or final action in a closed meeting. Failing to properly provide notice of a public meeting. And failing to provide adequate notice of a public meeting. That looks like that. I noticed. Those look very similar. Who can enforce OPMA? The courts can, the attorney general, a county attorney, or a private citizen who is an aggrieved party. But you only have a certain amount of time to really protest something that's done incorrectly. So 90 days, and then 30 days if it involves bonds, notes, or debt. So it can't just linger forever. You couldn't bring up something that happened 5 years ago. Somebody has to act on it within 90 days and really show that something was done incorrectly. Also, if we notice a meeting incorrectly, there's really a 30-day provision in code if something's noticed incorrectly. Somebody have to bring that up within 30 days. Otherwise, it's deemed as being noticed correctly after 30 days. So any questions? That was a pretty quick review of OPMA. We're required to
Any questions for Michael? Any other business to be brought before the planning commission?
I just have a comment for everybody. Michael, do you have any input? I would love to know, out of curiosity, if you know any details about the Deer Valley acquisition of Mayflower. Because there was quite a bit of presentation by Mayflower and the 13 runs on the small scale on that side of the hill. And then it just is announced that it's like Deer Valley, you know, 3,000 additional acres or whatever it is,
yeah,
right at the top of the mountain of Midway.
Yeah.
And just curious if there's, you know, at that level, once it's Deer Valley and Alterra, I understand it's, you know, I just wondering if there's more to it. I don't ever remember any discourse, presentation, or not that it's an approval, but just curious if, you know, somehow Midway City Council or anyone got anything more than just, nope, this is the announcement by Deer Valley, this is what's happening.
Yeah, I think it's really what you stated, at least from Midway's perspective. I read it in the newspaper, to be honest. I knew that something could happen because they'd announced their own Mayflower Resort months ago, but I'd heard for a couple of years that the whole intent was trying to negotiate so it'd be one resort. They weren't sure that was going to actually happen. Just a little bit of background. I was a county planner before a Midway planner, so I dealt with the Jordanelle Reservoir area. But I was there before MIDA, which is, I forget the exact words for the acronym. But basically, MIDA is created by the state legislature, and it gives an area the ability to develop without going through your local land use authority, which in this case would have been Wasatch County. So basically, the state created the area where the resort is, and it made it so they weren't subject to the county's land use regulations. So it's kind of like in Midway, if there's an area of town that all of a sudden they're part of Midway, but they're not following our rules and regulations. They end up creating their own planning board and deciding what they're going to do, and they get tax benefits and different things. So it's kind of an interesting situation. And that's basically what happened to Wasatch County, is the state said this area is not subject to your land use, and they created their own land use authority. So that's how that all developed with my head.
Military Installation Development Authority.
Yep, that's it.
They're basically autonomous.
Yep, they are autonomous. And so it has tax implications for everybody here in Wasatch County, because they basically get taxes returned to the developer for years, and so it subsidizes what happens. So. Anyways, I'm not an expert on all of this, but that gives you a little bit of history on how MIDA created the resort that we're seeing now. And as for the announcement of being part of Deer Valley, again, I knew that was a possibility, and that's what they were working towards, but it was a surprise to me when it popped up a week or, well, 2 weeks ago or something like that in the news. We didn't have any warning on the city side.
So just out of curiosity, is there any chatter or anything about any infrastructure coming off of the top of the mountain into Midway? Which there will be a lift at the top right behind Olson Peak.
Yeah, we really haven't heard anything along those lines. Again, they're not subject to any county land use. We do have a state park in between us and them, which is, you know, it's a nice buffer to have, that's for sure. The one thing that they did announce recently is, I'm going to get the acreage wrong, but it is 6,000 acres of open space that is going to be in a conservation easement as part of the resort, and it's going to have a lot of trails in it, and Utah Lands is going to hold that conservation easement. They're holding a number of conservation easements here in Midway. So that's a very, very well and respected group that's going to hold that conservation easement. So that was just announced just in not that long ago also. So I think it's 6,000 acres. I could be off on the acreage, so.
What are all those, like, looks like roads going
looping
up
around.
And looping around? Are those bike trails? Are those actually,
well,
those
it's
actually
like
roads?
Yeah.
I
have to
tell
yeah.
you, I'm not 100% sure what all the plans are for the resort. I've got to look into that a little bit more.
Well, I was up there, you know, maybe a month ago before the announcement. Because, yeah,